So I'll just read a little more from Prabhupada Lilamrita. Raising the money, building the land, arranging for workers and materials, it had been an arduous struggle, replete with bureaucratic delays, forms, fees, supply shortages, and the like. Prabhupada would not tolerate any carelessness or waste. The building, which is turning out to be so artistic, substantial, and useful, was actually a gift from Lord Krishna. So to live here in Krishna's building was to reciprocate lovingly with the Lord. The devotees should think of serving Krishna, not of becoming comfortable and forgetting the purpose of both the building and of life. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he once said that the purpose of our building or our temples is actually for the devotees. And so that the devotees, they can come together and they can hear, particularly, he said, from pure devotees, devotees who are dedicated to their spiritual master. And he went on to say that the temples are not meant for our own personal comfort, but they're meant for service to Krishna. And then we know they're twofold. One is for the devotees, and the second is to greet non-devotees or new people. And in that regard, we understand that this is Krishna's house. Sometimes we see the temples, we have the attitude anyway, it's not my house, so I don't have to take care of the harmonium. I don't have to keep the brahmachari ashram so clean. It doesn't matter, because it's not my place. That's a very low kind of consciousness. Rather, we should understand this is Krishna's house, and we should keep it clean for His pleasure. And in particular, we should greet people when they're coming, because we always want to do atithi seva. But the atithis who come here are the guests of Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari. So we especially want to serve them nicely. The slamming of doors, although seemingly a minor fault, greatly disturbed Srila Prabhupada. It symptomized carelessness and misuse. And Prabhupada said the sound cracked his heart. One time Prabhupada came out of his room and called out, "Who is that slamming the doors? No one knows from where this building has come. You take it for granted that it is here, but no one cares." More often, however, Srila Prabhupada displayed a rose-like softness, an intimate, informal, and affectionate nature. The holy dham of Mayapur was the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. So the devotees there were living with Prabhupada in the spiritual world. More than most any other place in the world, the devotees living in Mayapur knew that they could walk into Prabhupada's room and see him. He sometimes even walked into their rooms. While they were working, reading, or talking, he might suddenly walk in and speak with them, asking how they felt and how they were adjusting to living in India. "It is difficult living here?" he would ask. "I think India is too hot. What do you think?" For me, when I read accounts like this, it's very special, because I feel we should not make Srila Prabhupada just into a Christ-like figure. He's the founder acharya of our society. But when we say founder acharya, that denotes a kind of regal opulence, a kind of greatness, majesty. But for me, I like to think of him as my Param Gurudev. He's my grandfather. And Prabhupada spoke about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. He said that the grandfather, he told his disciples, the grandfather is more affectionate, more merciful than the father. So we like to think of Srila Prabhupada in this way. Krishna doesn't get so much pleasure when the devotees are worshipping him as Bhagavan Narayan with great awe and reverence. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains that priti sankuchita, that love which is evoked by awe and reverence, that love becomes shrunken, sankuchita. And so similarly, we can worship Srila Prabhupada as Krishna's representative, as a founder of Acharya of ISKCON, and that's very good. But he's also a person, and we can have a personal relationship with him. So we can see how, from Prabhupada Lilamrita here, Prabhupada was so personal with the devotees. He didn't just have the position as the king of ISKCON, the founder of Acharya, but Srila Prabhupada was personally going in the rooms of his disciples unannounced to see them. So I'd like to read a little from the Bhagavatam today. I'm sorry, I didn't understand the program. I was misinformed that there would be Bhagavatam today, and they told me two verses. So we don't have this on the board. I'll just recite by myself. We're reading from Bhagavatam, 8th canto, chapter 2, text 7 and 8. Text 7 describes Nararanya Pasubrata Sankula Drona Alankrita Chitra Dhruma Sarojana Kalakanta Vihangama. The valleys beneath Trikut Mountain are beautifully decorated by many varieties of jungle animals. And in the trees, which are maintained in gardens by the demigods, there are varieties of birds chirping with sweet voices. Text 8. Sarit sarobir achodai pulinair mani valukai devastri majanamoda sorabam anilayaryuta. Trikut Mountain has many lakes and rivers with beaches covered by small gems resembling grains of sand. The water is as clear as crystal, and when the demigod damsels bathe in it, their bodies lend fragrance to the water and the breeze, thus enriching the atmosphere. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Even in the material world, there are many grades of living entities. The human beings on earth generally cover themselves with external fragrances to stop their bad bodily odors. But here we find that because of the bodily fragrance of the demigod damsels, the rivers, the lakes, the breeze, and the entire atmosphere, Trikut Mountain also became fragrant. Since the bodies of the damsels in the upper planetary systems are so beautiful, we can just imagine how beautifully formed are the bodies of the Vaikuntha damsels, or the damsels in Vrindavan, the gopis. Gora graganya gana gotra goloruharam goranga gura tamagopyada kopa briksham gopala gara rati damyati singha gora govinda deshi kavaram satatam namami. Hare Krishna. The name of Arjuna's son was killed. The name of Arjuna's son was killed in the battle of Kurukshetra, which is in Ashram. Anyway, Abhimanyu, thank you. So, here it's mentioned by Srila Prabhupada that the human beings on earth generally cover themselves with external fragrances to stop their bad bodily odors. But we find that because of the bodily fragrance of the demigod damsels, the rivers, the lakes, the breeze, and the entire atmosphere, Trikut Mountain also became fragrant. In one local version of Mahabharata here in India, it's described that Arjun, during his Tirtha Yatra, when he went to stay in Indralok with his father, later, after the battle of Kurukshetra, that he saw his son, Abhimanyu. And Arjun became very ecstatic. My dear son, I haven't seen you in so long. And he went to embrace him. And Abhimanyu, who was a very obedient and very loving son of his father, he said, Dad, please, do you mind? Don't get so close. Why? There's a bad fragrance coming from your body. Because you're coming from the earth planets. I'm living here in the heavenly planets. And your body has this bad fragrance. So, it's an interesting discussion in this verse and purport. Prabhupada speaking something about beauty. And beauty, we know, is perhaps the most discussed topic in the whole world. And people are very attracted by the beauty of young women. But if we contemplate the matter, we can ask this question, where does beauty reside? Beauty resides in the eye of the beholder. You may have an expert artist like Leonardo da Vinci who paints fantastic masterpieces. But if there's no one there to appreciate that art, what's the value of it? So, the beauty of someone or the beauty of something is contained also within the eye of the beholder. And we understand from Vedic literatures that when a man casts a lusty glance at a woman, She becomes affected by that glance. She becomes somewhat affected by it. And therefore we see in traditional Vedic culture that the ladies would not go outside. And Prabhupada says in some places they wouldn't see the sunshine, a high-class lady. They wouldn't even go outside of the door. So there's an interesting description in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, in the 6th chapter, about Putana. It said there, Manoharantim vanatam vajokasam, that when Putana adopted the form of a beautiful damsel in the heavenly planets, and she entered into Braj, Prabhupada translates this, he says, her beauty drew the attention of all the inhabitants of Braj, especially the men. I remember reading this and thinking, that's very interesting, isn't it? The Brijbasis, Krishna's eternal associates, who are pure devotees, they were looking at Putana, wow, very, very attractive woman. In the Lalita Madhav, there's a description when Krishna went to rescue Rukmini. At that time, Rukmini had gone to the temple of Durga Devi, and it's a long story, but she was planning to commit suicide by jumping into a huge yajna, fire yajna that they had going there at that time. And Krishna had gone to rescue her on the request of several of his devotees. And Rupa Goswami says that Krishna came accompanied by his friend Garuda, and they disguised themselves as dancers. And when they were standing there in that assembly, suddenly Rukmini came into the room, and Garuda at that time kind of stuck his elbow in Krishna's ribs and said, "Hey, Krishna, check her out. Wow, she's really beautiful." It's the nature of men. They appreciate the beauty of women. And Krishna, Rupa Goswami says at that time, he looked at her and he said, "Yes, it's true. She's beautiful." He said, "But Krishna is not attracted by mere physical beauty." And the Brijbasi men, although they appreciated the beauty that Putana, that form that she had adopted, they appreciated that beauty, their glance was not a lusty glance. And this is an important point. Sometimes in our society, devotees have had a difficult time maintaining vows of celibacy. It's very difficult. And sometimes they even think in their difficult position that women are maya. And especially if a woman is beautiful, it's very bad. And that's a great misunderstanding. Women should be beautiful. That's their asset. Especially the wife should be beautiful. And Prabhupada, there was when the wife of one devotee, one senior devotee, her husband took sannyas. She shaved her head and she put on white, which is a traditional Vedic thing. And she was a Westerner. And when Srila Prabhupada heard about that, he wrote her a letter and he said, "Don't do like that." He said, "Krishna wants beautiful gopis. We like beautiful women. You should dress in a beautiful way, not in this ugly way." Prabhupada liked that. There's nothing wrong with a woman being beautiful. So then the question comes then, what is the fault with this lust? I remember once in the Delhi temple, we were giving a class in east of Kailash Center, and I was speaking to the devotees about Matyavat Padadarishu, that we should see everyone as mother. And I mentioned even how a husband, although Prabhupada generally translates that verse that you should see all women other than your wife as mother, how even a husband may see his wife, a high-class man, as mother. Because a high-class man, when he marries, he's thinking, "I don't want just some sense gratification, but I'm marrying for the purpose of having a child. So I'm looking for a good mother, someone who'll be a mother for my children." And immediately there's respect. Whereas if you're just looking at a woman with lust for your own pleasure, there's disrespect. And then again, when the wife gives birth to the child of the husband, then again he sees her even more so as mother. Now she's worship, she's taking care of my expansion in the form of my son, my daughter. So she's definitely a mother. And there's great respect and that relationship. So I was speaking about how we should see all ladies as mother. After the class, one of the brahmacharis came to me and he said, Prabhuji, you're saying we should see all ladies as mother, but many of the ladies that come here to the temple, they don't dress like my mother. I said, what should I do? And so then I asked him what service he did, and he told me that he was going out every day downtown and doing book distribution. I said, okay, can you imagine if one day you're doing book distribution downtown and your mother comes walking up to you in a very small string bikini? What will you do? Now I asked that brahmachari that, and he became very confused. He didn't know what to say. He couldn't say anything. And finally I replied, and I said, I know what I would do. I wouldn't look at her. I would think, that's not my mother. My mother's not going to do like that. And so there's a principle. The Bhagavatam describes that when we see someone envious, don't see them. We should practice rather upeksha, or neglect. And this is a principle of Shakti and Shaktiman. When the Shaktiman, the possessor of Shakti, the men, look at women in a certain way, the women want to dress in that way. Don't blame the ladies for being beautiful. We should rather blame ourselves. This is Vedic culture where the men are in charge. Blame yourself. Why are you looking in such a lusty way? Because that lust is in our glance. The lust is not necessarily inherent in her body, but it becomes collected in her body by the lusty glances of men. So we should neglect that thing if we see envy. And we're not envious of it ourselves. We can appreciate, oh, she's very beautiful. She's a very beautiful young girl. It's okay. But that's not for me. That young girl in the West, people don't understand that that young girl has parents. She has a brother and sister. She has family members. There's things she likes to do. She has different illnesses in her body. She has anger about certain things. She's a person. And if you want that body of that woman, along with that body comes a package. It's a package deal. Comes her family, comes her problems, her mental anxieties, her desires, her this and her that. And a wise person will understand that. So when we speak about this vision, we can understand that in general there are three categories of vision which evoke emotion or evoke affection for that body, the lowest of which is the deha priti. We may have some affection for the body, stool deha, for the physical body. But if we contemplate this thing, it's a very simple thing to understand. If you're just appreciating someone because of their physical beauty and you have some affection, that's deha priti, because of that bodily appearance, how deep is that affection? It's 1/16 of an inch deep, because that's how thick the skin is. And if you take the skin away, it looks like a monster, and no one wants to look at that woman anymore. And so we see that relationships that are based on deha priti are also very shallow, and they're exploitive. The Bhagavatam says that relationships should be ahoitikiya pratiyata yatma supersedity. For them to be supersedity, yatma supersedity, satisfying to the self, they should have two qualities. Ahoitiki and a pratiyata. They should have no motivation and they should never end. But relationships that are based on deha priti, affection for the physical body, that has a motivation, it's selfish. And you marry that girl because, wow, she's beautiful. But later on, after she eats so much pizza and ice cream and soda pop or something, she becomes kind of like this. Then there's no more attraction. And you want to leave her for some other person. And there's no satisfaction in your heart, and there's no satisfaction in her heart. Your so-called love was hoitaki. It had a motivation. And it was patiyata. Therefore, it ended. So real love should be better than that. And so higher than deha priti or stula priti, there's sukshma priti, something more subtle. I like her because she likes to play chess. And we like the same kind of music. We read the same kind of books. That's nice. But still, that's also a little shallow. Because those likes and dislikes are mental. And they come and they go. And one day she likes to play chess. And then the next day she decides, I don't like chess anymore. Now I like punk rock music. And I'm going to change myself. And it happens sometimes with people. And if a relationship is based on that sukshma priti, it's a little better, definitely better than the deha priti. But still, it's not ahaitakiya pratiyata. It's not yayatma supersedati. So we want a relationship which is based on jiva priti, jiva doya. Right? Affection, compassion to the soul. We want to see that person as a soul. And that's based on Krishna. And therefore, the Sattva Tantra describes, Hari Lila Satochara Pareshu Satatam Tvaya Karya Pritista Vahara Yata Bhaktir Nanashati. That we should learn to love devotees. It's not wrong to love devotees. It's not wrong to love your wife. It's not wrong to love your husband. It's not wrong to see beauty in them. We should see beauty in them. But that beauty that we see, that beauty is there because of Krishna. Sanatana Goswami, in Krishna Lila Stava, he describes it, Rupa Namasrita Vishta. That when you ashrita, you take shelter of these two things, Rupa and Nam, the form of Krishna, having darshan of the deity, and we're chanting Krishna's name, ashrita, then avishta. Krishna enters into the body of that devotee. And that's why the devotees are so beautiful. And so when we appreciate the beauty of a devotee, a husband, a devotee husband may appreciate the beauty of his devotee wife, that appreciation is not just based on her skin and her physical body, but it should be based on her devotion to Krishna. And therefore, Hari Lila Satochara Pareshu Satatam Tvaya Karya Pritista Vahariyata Bhakti Nanashati. We should learn to love devotees. And if we do that, then Yata Bhakti Nanashati, our bhakti will always be protected if we appreciate the devotees for their Krishna Katha and for their service. And so this is our relationship. We're not like the Tyagis or the impersonalists who say that all relationships are bad. We don't say that. We say that you put Krishna in the center of your relationship. You see Krishna because Krishna is real beauty. It's described by Prahlad Maharaj in the Hari Bhakti Sudha Dvaya. Api me punakamasya navam navam idam priyam nisanka pranayad bhakto yan mam pasyati basyate. Excuse me, Lord Nisringadev, he tells Prahlad this thing. And he tells him that when a devotee looks at me with no hesitation and speaks to me with affection, my pleasure grows at every moment. Krishna gets pleasure from the devotees looking at him. We published a book some years ago called Mathura Meets Vrindavan, which is a collection of lectures by a revered spiritual master, Sri Srimad Gaurgovinda Maharaj. And herein in the book, he speaks about the nature of the gopis of Vrindavan and how the gopis of Vrindavan, they're appreciating Krishna. He speaks about different levels of love. Snehaman, Pranayarag, Anurag Bhav, Ruda Mahabhav, Adi Ruda Mahabhav, different stages of love are there. And when he defines what is rag, he says that when rag becomes more condensed, it becomes anurag. And in the anurag stage, Krishna's form, his beauty, becomes newer and newer. Nityam navanavayamanam. The appetite for relishing Krishna's beauty is also newer, newer and newer. Although one relishes more and more, still they never get satisfaction. No satiation is there. Krishna's beauty always appears newer and newer and newer. Nityam navanavayamanam. And he goes on to say, do you think Krishna's beauty is in Krishna? Where does Krishna's beauty reside? Once it's described that the Krishna was speaking to Mother Yashoda, and he said that, Ma, these boys are saying that you're not really my mother. Mother Yashoda said, no, no, you're my son. And then Krishna, Mother Yashoda is generally described as blackish, but sometimes she has a light complexion also. Krishna then asked Mother Yashoda, he said, then why am I blackish? And you're not. Mother Yashoda said, you silly boy, you don't know. You were born at midnight. Everything was dark, and therefore you're dark. Krishna's a little boy that, oh, okay. And she said, aside from that, when you were a little baby, I was giving you milk from a black cow. And you became black. Krishna said, oh. But yet other people, they say the reason why Krishna is black is because Krishna is living in the eyes of the gopis. And the gopis, they're putting this black cudgel around their eyes. And that black cudgel is smearing off on Krishna because Krishna is residing in the eyes of the gopis. So Gaurgavendra Maharaj says, do you think Krishna's beauty is in Krishna? No. Krishna's beauty is in the eyes of the bhaktas who developed anurag. In their eyes, his form becomes more and more beautiful, newer and newer. The appreciation of that beauty is in their eyes. It's not with Krishna. As their anurag develops, increases, Krishna's beauty also increases and appears in newer forms and ways. So, this is the nature of the gopis. They're always so very, very attracted by Krishna. It's described in the Bhagavatam that during that eclipse, when all the residents of Bharat were going to Kurukshetra, they were going there with different purposes. And the pious kings who were going there, their purpose was punyalabha. They wanted to get some piety. Because if I go there and take bath and give some charity during this eclipse at Kurukshetra, it'll be very, very beneficial for me. I'll get so much punya. But much better than them were the members of the Yadu dynasty, and their prayer was, Krishna no bhakti astati. They were going to Kurukshetra because they wanted to pray that you please give us devotion to Krishna. That was their desire. And they were also, as they were going, in their chariots, they were carrying big piles of gold and diamonds and jewels to give away in charity, just like the pious kings were also carrying. But the pious kings were doing that for their own punya, for their selfishness. The members of the Yadu dynasty were doing it for devotion to Krishna. But there was a third group of people coming from the land of Vrindavan. And their chariots weren't made out of silver and gold. They were made out of wood. And they weren't piled in the back with gold and jewels. They had piles of gobar, cow dung, in the back. Because they were going, we want to cook for Krishna. And what was their prayer? Chandravadana tanira eka falate darshan. They just desired, if we can have just one moment's glimpse of Krishna's cooling, moon-like face. This was their desire. Now, please think about this for a moment. Is this selfishness on their part? Is this attitude of the Brijbasis lower than the attitude of the members of the Yadu dynasty? The Yadu dynasty was praying, please give us Krishna bhakti. But the Brijbasis, they simply want to see Krishna. Is there something wrong with their love? Is their love on a lesser level than the members of the Yadu dynasty? No. Because Krishna gets so much pleasure from the devotees' glance of love. And therefore, we were reading the statement from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, where Lord Nisringadev tells Prahlad, Api me punakama shanavam navam idam priyam nisanka pranayad bhakto yanmam pashati basate. Krishna gets great pleasure by those glances of the devotees. In the Lalita Madhav, Navabrinda Devi, she tells Radharani, she describes how Radharani and the gopis are worshipping Krishna. Yapushpavali gandadupavalabhidamodara sevyate kuvadi kuvadbi stuti purvam uttamatiste tavat anyajanaha sevako kila kanti gokula bhuvam yusmadadrisanam haro vakra loka kala karambita pariambari lilamayi. She said, my dear Radharani, some people, they worship Krishna by offering flowers and incense and by reciting prayers and bowing down to him. But you gopis of Braj, you have a different way of worshiping him. You worship Krishna, instead with incense and flowers, you worship him with your crooked, sidelong glance. You worship him with your embraces and many different amorous pastimes. This is the nature of the love of the gopis. And Krishna becomes so very, very eager for that love. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, he says that Krishna is so eager for that love that every day when he leaves Braj, he acts like a thief. And he's given such a beautiful poetic verse. Please listen. Gokulair gokulam ninye, gokulam gokulair haran, gokulam gokulastrinam, gokulair gokuleshvara. We can translate, one person's translated that. Gokul means the Lord of Gokul, gokulair gokulam ninye, the Lord of Gokul drove his cows, that means Gokula, as he entered the town of Gokul, and Gokula means stealing the senses of the young girls of Gokul and the eyes of the people of Gokul. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he describes in Krishna Bhajanamrita that when Krishna is leaving Braj every day, all the residents of Vrindavan, they're coming there and they want to go with Krishna. And so Krishna thinks they want to come with me, but they can't come. So Krishna takes their eyes, but their eyes are attached with their hearts. And Krishna also steals their hearts. And every day when he leaves for the forest, he also takes the hearts of the residents of Vrindavan with him. So these glances of the Braj gopis, they're appreciating Krishna so much. There's so much love within those glances that Krishna gets great, great pleasure from that. The gopis, they're complaining sometimes. We can sing this and you can chant Hare Krishna with me. Double time when we do Hare Krishna. Koti netra nahi dila sabhe dila dui tahate nimesha Krishna ki de ki ba mui bolo Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Gopis, they're complaining. This Brahma, he's a badmash. A great rascal. Everyone is giving respect to him. He's Pitamaha, but he doesn't know proper things. He doesn't know how to create properly. Because he only gave us two eyes. Bhakoti netra nahi dila sabhi dila dui. Millions of eyes are not enough to see Krishna. And not only that, but tahiti nimesha. He's made our eyes to blink. And so for just one nimesha, 1 second, I can't see Krishna's face. So these eyes, they're not very good for looking at Krishna. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has described Krishna's own words about the nature of his beauty. Amara madhurja nichanava navahoy swaswa prema anurupa bhakti asvadoy bolo Hare Krishna. Amara madhurja nitya nava nava hoy. The nature of my madhurja, Krishna says, the nature of my beauty is that nitya nava nava hoy. It's always ever, ever fresh. And swaswa prema anurupa bhakti asvadoy. And my premi bhaktas, they relish that. Sometimes we ask a riddle, 3-part riddle to the devotees. I'll tell you and I'll give you the answers because our time is a little short. Our first question is, who is the greatest devotee of Krishna? Our second question is, what makes that devotee the greatest devotee? And the third question is, what's the best proof of number one and number two? So I compiled this little riddle myself. So in the presence of so many exalted Vaishnavas, you can please correct me if my questions or the answers are incorrect. Okay? So for the first question, who is the greatest devotee? We see him next to Krishna on the altar. Srimati Radharani. Does anyone disagree with that? Radharani is Krishna's greatest devotee. What is her greatest service that she does? We ask this question many times. Devotees, they say, cooking, or offering tambul, or preaching, or doing this or that. And we say, no. But swasvaprema anurupa bhakti asvadoy. Relishing Krishna. Seeing Krishna's beauty. That's her greatest quality that Radharani has that makes her the greatest devotee. Okay, now what's the best proof of the first two questions? The best proof we also have here on the altar, on the right side, left altar on the right side, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Krishna himself came. Asvadaya, he came to relish, to understand what is it that Radharani's tasting. He came with these three questions in his mind. Shiradaya pranaya mahima kiddisovanayaiva svadyo yenad bhuta madhuri makiddisova madhya sokyam chashyamana nabhavar kiddisambhati lobhat. These three things, what's the nature of her love? Svadyo yenad bhuta, what is it that she's relishing? What is it that she sees in me? That's such a very attractive thing to Krishna. Krishna becomes happy when he sees the devotees are attracted to him. Once, when Srila Prabhupada came to Atlanta, Georgia, there were a group of brahmachari book distributors who had come there. They were with the Radha Damodar Party. And those are like the IIT of book distribution at that time in ISKCON. All the greatest book distributors, they came there. And Srila Prabhupada gave a famous lecture. He just spoke just a few words, started to sing Parama Karuna, and he began to cry, seeing Gaur Nitai. And the devotees later, they asked him some questions. And, one of our friends from Los Angeles, what's his name? Prabhupada's disciple, his name's not coming to my mind. He stood up and he had a question for Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, how can we please you in the best way? And I get all these brahmacharis sitting on the edge of their chairs who are doing book distribution. They're waiting for Prabhupada to say, distribute my books, right? And then the roof is going to break off because the devotees are going to start shouting Hari Bol so loud, right? And Prabhupada very gently, he said, simply love Krishna. That's our service. We should appreciate the beauty of Krishna. And if we can appreciate the beauty of Krishna, and wherever we see Krishna, and you may see Krishna in your children, you may see Krishna in your wife, in your husband, in your brahmachari friends, and the other devotees. We see Krishna, we love Krishna wherever he appears. We love the devotees because they're chanting Hare Krishna, because they're speaking Krishna Katha. We love Krishna. This is the essence of a Vaishnav Sangha. That Krishna is in the center of everything. Not that I love my wife because she's beautiful and she cooks nice for me, but I love her because she's such a good devotee. And the wife can love the husband, and the brahmacharis can have friends on the same basis. It's very, very important. Because if we don't love someone, then we'll fall down. Therefore, yata bhakti nanashyati, Satvata Tantra says, you'll protect your bhakti in this way. By having these loving relationships, by seeing with the eye of beauty. Krishna's in the eye of the beholder. By seeing Krishna in all these different forms, we should love him wherever he appears. So we'll stop there. I think we have a couple minutes. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Anything? Prabhuji, maybe there's a mic for him. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he says that when you see a beautiful woman, you should, not that you hate her or think that all that beauty is bad, he said, but you should think she belongs to Krishna. You appreciate her beauty. And that she, her beauty belongs to Krishna, should be for Krishna's pleasure. Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. You said that beauty of Krishna lies in the eyes of Bhakta. So how I can get that to see Krishna beauty?
Very, very good. Huh? It's described in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam and the prayers of Vritrasura. Ajata paksha eva mataram kagastanyam yata vatsatarakshudharta priyam priyeva vyushitam vishana manoravindaksha didrikshate tvam. This verse is mentioned by Thakur Bhaktivinoda. He says this is a verse we should recite every day before we chant japa. It's, if you want to know, it's Bhagavatam 6, 11, 26. And what is the purport of this verse? Ajata paksha eva mataram kaga. That just as those ajata paksha, those baby birds who have no wings yet, eva mataram kaga, they really want to see their mothers. Because they don't know. If their mothers don't come back, how are we going to live? In the same way, stanyam yata vatsat tarakshudartha, a baby calf wants, is very hungry, wants to see his mother. Priyam priyeva vyushitam vishana. In the same way that a woman is hankering for her husband. In the same way, I want to see you. And in the next verse, Vritrasura, he describes that, my Lord, he says, I'll read the verse again here. Mamautama shloka janesu sakyam samsara chakre brahmata sukarma bi twan maya yatma jatma dada grihesh asakta chitesha nanata bhuyat. Oh my Lord, my Master, I'm wandering throughout this material world as a result of my fruitive activities. Therefore, I simply seek friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. My attachment to my body, wife, children, and home is continuing by the spell of your external energy, but I wish to be attached to them no longer. Let my mind, my consciousness, and everything I have be attached only to you. So we want to, these two verses come one after another. The purport of our japa is we want to see Krishna, but we see Krishna through the devotee. When we develop attachment to Krishna's devotees, we'll develop attachment for Krishna. And therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's written two articles, one called Brajmandal Parikrama, and the other called Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, in his Sajjana Toshini. I remember seeing these articles, the titles, and I thought, oh, very good. I'll find out some secret things about Brajmandal Parikrama and Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. But I read the articles, and he doesn't even speak about Parikrama practically. What does he say? He says, when you go to Vrindavan, you want to do Parikrama, don't try to see the Dham, because you're not the seer. Rather, you should go there with Gurudev. You should go there with an elevated Vaishnava. And you don't look at everything with your camera's eye, but you look at Gurudev, you look at that sadhu, and you try to understand what is he seeing, what is he appreciating. And in that kind of association, it comes to us. Just like if you associate with lusty young men, and they're always saying, wow, look at her, she looks really hot, she's really beautiful, then you'll also develop the same kind of mood. Similarly, if we associate with devotees who have this anurag, who have this attachment to Krishna, who are attached to the form of Krishna, and we serve them, shushu shoshadadanasya vasudeva katavrucha sammahatsevya vipa punyatirtha nisevana, then that katha ruchi for Krishna's form will come to our heart when we pay this price of service to Krishna's devotees. Okay? All right, so I think we should stop there. It's a little bit late. I want to thank all the kind devotees here who've been so wonderful to us and so affectionate, letting us stay here and letting us associate with you in kirtan and Krishna katha for these last few days. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, samaveda bhaktavinda ki, gopremanande hari, vanchakalpadarubhischa, kripasindubhyevacha, patitanam, Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.